beginning slowly, too slowly, after the first World Trade Center bombing. Officials in the White House, the CIA, and isolated offices in a scattering of other agencies began to scale a steep learning curve. They struggled to reframe their understanding of terrorism, discard old deeply held beliefs, and formulate a new notion of what the United States needed to do to confront a fast-changing threat. This was not easy. Over decades, an unspoken consensus shaped American policy. Terrorists would be dealt with decisively because Americans rightly expected their government to protect them, and every effort would be made to ensure that justice would be rendered should harm be done. Terrorism would be combated vigorously to strengthen deterrence, so no one would conclude that he could take advantage of the United States with impunity. Wherever possible, America worked with other countries to disrupt terrorist operations, and it used its military might against terrorists when doing so made sense. The United States did not make concessions to terrorists, appease them politically, pay them off, or hustle them out of the country when they were accidentally arrested, as Europeans did in the 1970s and 1980s. The nation had deviated from this policy once, to disastrous effect. In 1985-1986, the Reagan administration sold arms to Iran in violation of U.S. law to secure the release of American hostages held in Lebanon by Iranian-backed radicals. Ultimately, the harm done by this debacle was most evident in Iran's continued use of terrorism as a tool of policy. The only country on earth with a tougher counterterrorism policy than America was Israel, which assassinated terrorists when it could locate them abroad. But for all the resolve and resources America devoted to the problem, in the grand scheme of foreign policy, terrorism was a second or even third-level concern. It was a nuisance to be attended to, not a strategic threat. Terrorism was not and never had been the kind of issue to provide an organizing principle for America's dealings with the world. For good reason. Attacks were sporadic and the damage limited. The death toll from individual attacks rarely broke into the double digits. The annual average of fatalities was 26. Americans were more likely to die from lightning strikes, bathtub drownings, or poisoning by plants and venomous animals than at the hands of terrorists. No major international terrorist organization, not Hamas, Hezbollah, the IRA, or Sri Lanka's Tamil Tigers, placed America at the head of its list of targets. Terrorists, like the poor, would always be with us. But they sought incremental change, not a wholesale revision of the status quo. They wanted to inflict enough harm to be taken seriously, but not so much that their violence would elicit massive retaliation. Terrorists seriously threatened neither American power nor the safety of large numbers of American citizens, and the thinking of the top national security experts reflected that. In the open session confirmation hearings on the nomination of James Woolsey to be President Bill Clinton's first Director of Central Intelligence, the nominee mentioned the word terrorism once. In government deliberations spanning decades, counterterrorism routinely took a backseat to other matters, like lining up support for the Middle East peace process, maintaining alliances with European countries, or finding port facilities for U.S. warships. During the latter half of the 1990s, that began to change. The small group of officials who recognized that Al-Qaeda presented a growing, formidable danger to the United States pushed hard to make America's sprawling national security establishment take note of the new threat and respond appropriately. The work was difficult because a government that had never viewed terrorism as a first-tier threat had neither the organization nor the laws to deal with it that way. Even more daunting for those aware of the emerging threat was the challenge of arguing against a paradigm, a core understanding of a foreign policy issue. There were no dramatic statistics or powerful graphic evidence. Indications of real change in the nature of the danger, while not invisible, were subtle. Without a thunderclap to awaken the sleeping, the recognition that there was a new brand of terrorism did not spread fast enough or forcefully enough to pierce the far reaches of the bureaucracy.